This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now. Live on FM 105.7 AM 1340. As always, go to fanrunradio.com. Click the live link at the top. And as always, hey, you like apps? We got an app. You can take it wherever you go. It's called the Fan Run Radio app in your app store. Hey, and if you like watching video, head on over to our Facebook and Twitter. Live streams at Fox Sports Knox on Facebook, at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. But now it's time. Hour number two, time for an opening drive. First down. Well, the rich get richer, and sometimes they just barely hang on by a thread, and that was the case last night as Vanderbilt scoring on a wild pitch in the ninth to stun Stanford and to survive in Omaha at the College World Series. It was Spencer Jones scoring from third on Brandon Beck's wild pitch with two outs in the bottom of the ninth, allowing Kandy to stay alive in the College World Series with a 6-5 victory last night. You guys were just kind of telling me about it. I didn't get a chance to watch this. I heard about it first thing this morning, but pretty crazy end of events. Run me through this, Charlie, and for all the listeners who didn't get a chance to watch it.
So Stanford really outplayed Vanderbilt from the start. They put up a run in the first, run in the third, a couple in the fourth.
And this is the Pac-12 pitcher of the year.
Yeah, and they were up 4-0 at one point, and then they were up 5-2. You get to the ninth inning, and it's 5-4 at that point, and you get the first two outs, and you have your guy on the mound, Brandon Beck, who got you to that point. And it really looked like they were going to pull that game off. First, Parker Nolan grounds out to first. Then C.J. Rodriguez flies out to center. And then at that point, it's Vaz that's up for the Vanderbilt Commodores. And he gets himself into a 1-2 count. And then he took three straight pitches that were all centimeters out of the strike zone. It was absurd. All three of those could have ended their season.
One of them was actually plate discipline.
One of them was actually, in my opinion, in the zone. And I think the graphics people that do little box with the strike zone would agree. But that was the at-bat of the year, and that's not going to be the one that gets talked about. But the fact that he was able to get a runner on and then really put the pressure on was really impressive. Then Jones reaches on an infield single, and the shortstop makes a throwing error, which allows Vaz to get up to third. Then Enrique Bradfield takes the first pitch and pops it just over, or lines it just over the first baseman's head into shallow right field. That scores Vaz, and it puts Jones on third. And then poor Brandon Beck. Oh, poor Brandon Beck. He sails a curveball. Absolutely sails a curveball. I mean,
nowhere in the zone, not even close.
Like he didn't even get to the top of his, you know, release point before it slipped out. His arm was still on the way up.
He needed some spider tack.
And the catcher leapt up and jumped up, and it did tip off of his glove. But it was higher than the umpire's head, higher than the batter's head, and it goes to the backstop, and it kind of landed too perfectly on the backstop, so it didn't kick back. And that easily allowed Vandy to score that winning run off that wild pitch and keep their season alive. And now Vandy not really in terrible shape. Obviously, the recipe to knock Vanderbilt out of this double elimination tournament is get a win against either Leader or Rocker, and then, you know, hope that you can get whoever their third guy, Little Walker. But now they'll be able to start Kamar Rocker again when they play Friday, and Leiter should probably be able to go Sunday if they play that second game. Or I don't know if it's Saturday. I think it would be Saturday, but Leiter should be able to go for that second game if they get to that point. So NC State's already beat Leiter once, and now they're going to have to beat one of either Rocker or Leiter again to get there. I would argue that Vanderbilt is the favorite there, even though they do have that one loss.
I feel like that's not a recipe for success when you got to face that 1-2 punch of Leiter, Jack Leiter, and Kamar Rocker.
Completely saved their season. I could see them now winning a national championship because of this play. I mean, obviously, if you're going to have to start Rocker and Leiter, this weekend, and they wouldn't be ready for Monday. But, you know, you can start someone else Monday and then probably get Rocker back for that Tuesday on short rest and Leiter back for that Wednesday on short rest if needed.
Interesting. Second down, let's go ahead and head over to the hardwood, but this time into international waters. We got the Olympics coming up, and USA Basketball has finalized its roster for the Tokyo Olympics. They did that yesterday. Let me give you some of the names on the roster. My guy from the Bulls, Chicago Bulls guard Zach LaVine. Detroit Pistons forward Jeremy Grant. James Harden did withdraw because of his injury. That comes from USA Basketball Managing Director Jerry Colangelo. The team will be highlighted, though, by the Durantula, Kevin Durant. He will head to Tokyo and go for his third gold medal. Golden State Warriors, Draymond Green. They are the only returning members of the 2016 team that won gold at Rio. But the roster is plenty stacked. First-time Olympians, Damian Lillard. That's right, Dame time, headed to Tokyo. Bradley Beal, Charlie's guy, Bam Adebayo, Bam Bam. Jason Tatum will be making the trip. And also Kevin Love, who was on the 2012 gold medal winning squad in London. Surprised that Kevin Love made the roster. I don't know.
I saw on the lead on the ESPN, Kevin Love officially accepts invite to join.
Who invited him?
Yeah, I was like, announces that he'll be joining Team USA. I was like, did he just say that? Now we just have to go with it? Or did we still invite him? Him and, again, I don't want to disrespect Jeremy Grant. I know he had a good season,
yeah,
and I know he's sneakily underrated.
Well, you got all the big names are.
I feel like
out.
You could have gone to then, you know, the younger guys. Hit up De'Aaron Fox, hit up Ja Morant, and some of these other younger forwards and guards.
Very
I would have liked to see some of the new faces of USA Basketball start to show up this year.
Also, you still have three more names that are currently playing in the playoffs right now. Yeah, Milwaukee Bucks star Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, and also Phoenix's Devin Booker. Team USA's first game in Japan is scheduled for July 25th against France, but all three of those have committed to traveling quickly to Japan by private plane once the season is over for them. What do we think about this roster, GP3?
Definitely not as like awe-inspiring as we've seen in the past, but there still should be no reason they can't go gold. It's just missing, I think, a lot of the star power.
No LeBron. No Melo always goes to the Olympics. Melo has the most, I think, gold medals out of a basketball player. I'm surprised Melo didn't want to make the trip and just go ahead and put himself way out there and where nobody can attain as many medals
yes,
as
he I would
had.
Love to have seen Melo.
Me too. Like
instead
one thing,
of Kevin Love,
one
shoot.
One thing Melo does, he may not win titles, but he goes over and he plays in the Olympics and he wins gold medals.
I don't need Kevin Love coming off the bench talking about his privilege and his mental health and everything else. Give me Carmelo.
I do wonder why they didn't go with some of the younger names, like you said, like a Ja Morant, a De'Aaron Fox.
Trae Young.
Maybe he decided to opt out, but then also guys like maybe
Dame.
Zion.
Zion?
Dame declined, right?
No, Dame's
going. Oh, Dame is on the team.
Dame's
okay.
First timer. He's gone.
I wonder if Zion declined because I don't know why you wouldn't
like
have him.
Zion.
What about Julius Randle?
Health wise, I don't
he had
think
a big
Zion
year.
Would want to go.
That's a young guy. Julius Randle, maybe a Brandon Ingram. It's a little bit weird.
Tyler Hero?
Jerry Colangelo.
Oh, my gosh. That's it. When Kevin Love retires from Team USA, he has to be replaced by Tyler Hero.
He has to.
Those are the rules. A white shooter that.
We don't make the rules. We just abide by the rules. Jerry Colangelo said, versatility and athleticism are trademarks of this group. I feel like that's what you say when you didn't get the biggest stars that you wanted as well.
Spolstra is going to be an assistant too.
Is he? Nice. I like Spolstra.
I do too.
He's one of the
Ben
coaches.
Simmons also announced that he's now backing off of
Team
backing
Australia.
Out of playing off. Yeah, which
he's going to work on his shot.
Australia just got better.
Joel Embiid, I'm surprised he didn't. I mean, I guess he's banged up, though.
Yeah,
he's
there's.
Pretty
I mean,
hurt.
So many of these guys,
so many
too,
these guys are very
are banged up, or, I mean, they went deep in the playoffs in the bubble and then, you know, played this season
no
where
Kimba,
they just need that
but
break.
Do they need Kimba?
No. Maybe yeah. SGA. SGA would have been fun.
SGA would have been fun. That's a pretty good one.
I mean,
I like that one.
No matter what, though, USA, clear favorite.
Jamal Murray
obviously.
Is obviously too hurt. He can't go, but he would be playing for Canada anyways.
What is Sabonis playing for whatever European country he's from?
Serbia?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I haven't checked a lot of the other.
Wait, is Luka from?
Luka's also. The Serbian team
time
is.
Time out.
No, the Serbian team is stacked.
They could give us a little run.
Yeah.
Give us a little run for
Serbian
our money.
The Serbian team is pretty stacked. It's pretty stacked. Hey, but third down, we'll stay on the association. The Boston Celtics, they are finalizing an agreement with Brooklyn Nets assistant Ime Udoka to make him the franchise's new coach. Udoka will replace Celtics president of basketball operations now, Brad Stevens, who stepped down as coach earlier this month to replace Danny Ainge. Udoka, 43, separated himself quickly, according to ESPN, the search process, according to sources. And his candidacy was boosted with strong recommendations from the key Celtic stars, including Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum. Udoka played on Team USA, they played for Udoka on Team USA in the 2019 FIBA World Cup. He's a longtime assistant with the San Antonio Spurs under Greg Popovich. He left the Spurs to join Brett Brown's staff in Philadelphia 2 years ago, and then moved on to Brooklyn under Steve Nash. He spent several years as a player with the Lakers, Blazers, Kings, Knicks, and most notably his long-term stop with the Spurs. Assistant Darvin Ham of the Bucks and LA Clippers assistant Chauncey Billups also had interviews in the process. What do you guys think about the Udoka hire for the Celtics? He's been a name that's been bandied about in coaching candidacy for quite a while now. And he got his start under Pop, learned from Pop, finally gets a big job.
I know we've talked on this show about the NBA and how teams go about their coaching hires, and it just feels like they recycle the same 3, 4, 5 names over and over and over again, and
there's a new name.
Never really works out any better than the last time.
Jason Kidd.
So
Tyloo.
To me, I'm really excited to see somebody else get their turn. It's certainly better than giving any of these other guys their 7th or 8th. Or 20,000th chance.
Although
in the
I would
NBA.
Like to see Mark Jackson get one more shot. I would like to see him get a shot eventually.
Did you see the Jay Williams tweet about the hire?
No.
He tweeted out that congratulations to the first Boston Celtics coach to be a person of color, completely forgetting about Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
And then, 20 minutes later, he said his account was hacked. Instead of just admitting,
I forgot.
True.
No,
because they even used the same style and one other thing that are unique to his tweets that a lot of people don't use.
Yeah, just be like, hey, I'm sorry, I forgot about Doc.
And if someone's gonna hack your account, why would that be what they tweet?
Yeah,
that's the only thing they tweeted out.
That's the only thing. Come on,
let me tweet about
a
news story in incorrect fashion, or really just make him look bad.
Staying with the association on fourth down, the Phoenix Suns and LA Clippers will play Game 3 tonight in Los Angeles. Close game.
Ooh. My bad. I got excited. I saw breaking news for fifth down.
All right, fifth down. You got that. Play Game 3 tonight in Los Angeles. Close game last on Tuesday night. Losing 104-103 on that DeAndre Ayton alley-oop with 0.8 seconds. But it looks like Phoenix might even get stronger tonight as Chris Paul is listed as probable for Game 3. But meanwhile, Clippers star Kawhi Leonard has been ruled out for Thursday's game tonight. He hasn't played since June 14th because of a sprained right knee. Paul was in the league's health and safety protocol since last Wednesday after getting COVID. But there was a lot of optimism that Chris Paul could come back for Game 3 before he was sidelined. The 36-year-old Paul averaged 25.5 points, 62% shooting from the field, while dishing out 41 assists against 5 turnovers in a 4-game sweep of the Denver Nuggets in the second round. If Chris Paul comes back tonight, is this just a given sweep with the Suns up 2-0 and no Kawhi Leonard?
I think it's hard to say that just because the Clippers have been down 2 games in every series so far.
And they've came back.
I don't think it's very likely at all. I think they actually have worse odds now than the Hawks do to make the finals. I'm going to say if Chris Paul's coming back, I really do think it'll be a sweep.
Charlie?
Suns in 4.
Suns in 4, guy. All right, Charlie, fifth down. You got some breaking news for us.
Fifth down, breaking news out again in the association. They're on one today. The Pacers are hiring Rick Carlisle as their new head coach. He will sign a four-year, $29 million contract. This comes from Tim McMahon of ESPN, I believe. I thought maybe Rick Carlisle will just be done. I thought he might just leave the Mavs and say, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I'll bow out. But here he is, not even a week later, going to the Pistons, which the Pistons with Rick Carlisle, I think you can get a lot out of that team. Not a bad team. Sabonis is an all-star. Miles Turner's a solid player. You know, I think there's definitely something to build around there, especially if you can add, I guess, you know, a solid, what would you say, a point guard of that team, probably?
Yeah, because right now they have Malcolm Brogdon.
Right.
I mean, he's a good defender.
He'd be better as your sixth man, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Coming off the bench, they need a good starting point guard, somebody can go out there and score some buckets for him. Rick Carlisle's a good fit. I think that's a good hire for
him. I mean, I think the Pistons, again, if they get that point guard, Pacers, excuse me, are easily a playoff team next year with that.
I like it. I like the hire. Hey, that was the opening drive right here on the Blitz. Coming up on the other side, I'm going to hit you with that Tennessee news we're talking about quickly, and then after that, we'll get to some association news. Stay tuned with us right here on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks, are you in the...
Out in the country, past the city limit sign, where there's a honky-tonk near the counter line.
Welcome back to the Blitz live here on Fan Run Radio. Chance, Charlie, and GP3 with you for a little bit longer. Talk Sports being here from 12 to 3. The drive from 3 to 6 and overtime from 6 to 8.
Sure, Talk Sports will be a doozy today.
Forever I love Atlanta. That's what that'll be on their show. They'll be riding that way. But hey, let's get to some Tennessee news before we switch it over to the association to round out the show. In case you missed it, there was good news for us yesterday that came out after we got off the air. But according to longtime Louisiana reporter Glenn Gilbo, he reported that LSU's search at this point is down to three candidates, and none of them, that's correct, none of them are Anthony Vitello. No, Tony Vitello is not among the three finalists for the LSU job, according to the Wednesday report. Quote, the LSU baseball coach search is down to three finalists. Arizona coach Jay Johnson, East Carolina coach Cliff Godwin, and a previously unnamed candidate, Notre Dame coach Link Jarrett. Multiple sources have told the Lafayette Daily Advertiser, Gilbo wrote. Vitello, National Coach of the Year by Perfect Game in Rawlings, and National College Baseball Writers Association Coach of the Year. He had said on Tuesday that he had no contact with LSU. Kept all his focus on preparing his Vols for the College World Series, which did end in the 8-4 loss to Texas. But it looks like we might get our guy. Maybe a leak of an extension will come out in the coming days. An announcement will be very soon. Does that take a big weight off you guys' shoulders, off your chest?
I don't think I was ever worried he was leaving.
Really?
I think
I was.
Everyone talked about LSU might want him. I don't think he wanted to leave Tennessee. I think he'd rather build a program better than LSU here, and I think he can do that. That's just the kind of style of person he is. He was on 102.5 The Game in Nashville this morning. He said the next wave of our players know it's possible to get to Omaha. We know what it takes, and they're better set up for success there the next time. And then he added, talked about the admin support and his future at Tennessee. He said it's been an ongoing convo about the stadium. I'm Italian, and we created shirts for a reason when we went to the SEC tournament that said loyalty with a big power T. That's important to me.
Yeah, I saw that he was on with Rex Road and his counterpart in the morning. Vitello, though, currently one of the lowest-paid head coaches in the SEC, despite receiving a raise and extension following the program's return to the tournament NCAA tournament in 2019. But as we know, as he has stated, the administration has worked very diligently to get things in order and offer the coach another extension with a significant raise and promises to expand and enhance Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And the administration and Vitello have met multiple times to discuss options for Lindsey Nelson's future. So hopefully they get that done. Maybe he's made the highest paid coach in all of the land. Maybe he's slightly under Tim Corbin, who is the highest paid coach in all of college
likely.
Baseball.
Likely. We don't really know what Tim Corbin makes, but
yeah, I mean it's private, but yeah, likely he's the highest paid. So that's good news for baseball fans. Good news for all fans that it seems like Tony Vitello is off the board for LSU. Did you ever think that he was going to go GP3? I just was worried about what they could offer as far as the money and then their better facilities that they have as far as their stadium.
Early on, I was, especially like before, like pre-SEC tournament, I was extremely worried.
Oh, let's put it this way. What if they don't go to Omaha? Does he take the job?
No.
Because you go to Omaha, get even more. I mean, I know he's very much invested, but you know what I'm saying? Like, a little bit more, more with the guys. This is, you know, a trip to Omaha where you're riding the wave. Tennessee, the third-best team in the nation, second-best ranked team in the nation after Arkansas went out, and it was only Texas, Tennessee, top two teams at Omaha. I just wonder if maybe that pulls at your heartstrings a little bit more. Maybe if you get put out in the super region, like in two games, and you go down. Maybe you decide that you do leave if they offer more money and you already see the better facilities. I don't know, just a thought.
I was worried originally, and I mean, there was still always that lingering thought in the back of my head that, hey, if LSU ponies up and offers them 2.5, I mean, I just don't see Tennessee matching it, not because we can't, just because I don't think they would want to pay that to a baseball coach. So it is refreshing and kind of does get that weight off your chest that, you know, you might think that there's an option out there for him. So seeing that definitely eases my feelings towards him. But all in all, I didn't really think he was going anywhere. There was just that thought that, hey, it could happen.
Yeah.
I was worried when Texas – I will say I was worried about Texas A&M. That was the one that kind of concerned me. Just because I didn't think that they were going to be able to get Sloshingale away from TCU. I thought that he would stay at TCU, and then I thought they would move on to Tony Vitello. As soon as A&M hired a coach at that point, I was no longer worried. Those corn dog munching, mouth breathing, knuckle dragging fans in university down there in Louisiana doesn't worry me one lick.
All right. Well, I like you guys' confidence, and hopefully we, like I said, hear some of the new contract in the coming days or maybe even today. In other news, also on the diamond, but this time on the women's side in softball, Ralph Weekly, you know him and Karen Weekly, but Ralph Weekly will retire as Lady Vols co-head coach after 35 years as a softball coach and 20 seasons at Tennessee. Ralph Weekly announced his retirement yesterday. Karen Weekly, the longtime co-head coach of the program, will take the helm and has agreed to a contract extension through June of 2025. Ralph had this to say, quote, "I have worked every day since I entered the military at age 17. I have had a fulfilling life as a father, husband, student, soldier, special agent, teacher, and coach. In every endeavor, I have been surrounded by amazing people whose talents allow me to succeed and made me a better person. I thank Joan Cronin for hiring us at Tennessee and allowing Karen and I to mentor and coach hundreds of wonderful young women. I was fortunate to work for many fantastic coaches and administrators, to include the legendary Pat Summitt. Most of all, I thank my family for their support, patience, and counsel. Karen is the smartest person I've ever known. I know she will make Tennessee softball even greater and continue our quest for a national championship." The end of an era. The end of the era. The Weeklies, hired by Cronin as co-head coaches in the 2002 season, hired by Joan Cronin at the time. And they have reached the postseason every year, fellas, since 2004, and have hosted 16 straight NCAA regionals, 11 super regionals, have advanced to 11 super regionals, and have made 7 trips to the Women's College World Series, placing in the top three on 5 occasions, including 2 national runner-up finishes. Wow, the end of an era. It's been the ride of a lifetime, Karen Weekly said.
We still have the worst of the Weeklies at the helm, though, unfortunately.
Oh, man. Why you got a torpedo Karen like that?
The Weeklies have not been good lately.
What did she do to you?
I don't know. I have the utmost respect for them.
A winner, a builder.
And I really
they're an undeniable force in the softball world, Charlie.
They were. Oh, are they still? No.
Oh, man. No. Stomp on the Oh, Ralph. I mean, I'm glad to
see him go. Honestly, I was hoping that his wife would go with him. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I care a ton about softball.
He is a special agent. I like say it. That. He'll find you.
I was ready to see him go. I think we need new coaching.
Oh, my God. We need a break, GP3. This is getting out of hand. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on Fuzz on the other side, we'll go ahead and go to the hardwood and talk about the action from last night between game one, between the Atlanta Hawks and the Milwaukee Bucks. Take a shot, make a friend, just enjoy the moment. I'm Luke Skywalking on these haters. Splish. Celebrate every day like a birthday. Things come to those that wait up. Welcome back to the Blitz. FM 105.7, live on the Fan Run Radio app. Thank you for tuning in to us. Really appreciate it today. Great show so far. But now it's time to get to some hardwood action. And Charlie's going to tell you a little something about our friends at FanDuel.
Absolutely. If you've been watching the NBA playoffs from the sidelines, now is the perfect time to get into the action with the FanDuel Sportsbook. Because during the conference finals, new users get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game. That means you can bet, or you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Man, this is quite the deal to get in on. Obviously, the conference finals have been great so far. You could have bet on the Hawks the other night too, and gotten a pretty good value with their money line tonight. Say you like the Suns. Well, hey, if you're a new user, 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game. The Suns getting Chris Paul back. Kawhi is still gone. That's a great deal right there. There are even more ways to win on FanDuel throughout the playoffs. And when you do win, getting your money is a layup. You'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Plus, the app is so easy to use. So just sign up with promo code Blitz to bet the NBA Conference Finals with 30-1 odds. Once again, that's promo code Blitz to unlock the 30-1 odds on any playoff team to win their next game, any of them, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Hey, thank you, Charlie. It was an excellent game last night. Another good game for the Atlanta Hawks. I'm starting to think. You know, I just noticed last night they're wearing those "We Believe" or "Believe." Theirs don't say "We Believe." It just says "Believe." Kind of like that same vibe that the Cleveland Cavaliers had when they headed up against the greatest team in all of NBA regular season history in the Golden State Warriors that went 73-9. So they won another one last night against the Bucks, 116-113, on the back of Ice Trey. It seems like in game ones, I'd like to go back in some of his game ones in all of these series, but in game ones he shows out. I think he was averaging like 32 coming into game one series, but he had 48 last night on 50% from the field. He wasn't particularly great from behind the arc, 4 of 13 at 30%, but he did it all. 11 assists, 48 points, and also 7 rebounds. Ice Trey, he was helped out by John Collins, who had a big game. We talked about that yesterday, 23-15. He was able to hit a 3 from behind the arc. He stretches out on the perimeter for that offense. And also, Red Velvet, he had another decent game, 13 points. To be a nice role player for them, Danilo Gallinari, he had 9 and 12 and 19 rebounds. That's right, 12 and count them, 19 on the glass for Clint Capella. For the Bucks, Giannis did all he could do. He even hit more free throws than he has been this entire playoff series. He was 6 of 8 from the line. He had 34 and 12. Chris Middleton had 15 and 5. He was only 6 of 23 from the field, though. Ouch. Drew Holiday, he came to play, 5 of 12 from behind the arc, 33 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds. And Bobby Portis, 11 points, 8 rebounds. What did you guys think of this game last night? There was a time where Milwaukee was up about, I think at halftime, maybe 8 to 9 points. I thought that they were really going to come out in the second half. And I wouldn't say dominate, but I thought they'd come out in the second half and really kind of, I don't know, put it to them a little bit. But it was the Atlanta Hawks who once again battled back behind Ice Trey and did what they had to do to steal another game one victory.
It's like, even when it feels like they shouldn't be winning, even when it feels like the other team has the matchup advantage or they've figured something out, the Hawks just win. Even when the box scores don't necessarily look like winning box scores, they win.
It's wild, man.
We talked about yesterday, who's going to guard Giannis? How are you really going to be able to stop Giannis? Well, you didn't. I mean, you didn't really stop Jrue Holiday either, but of course you just
stopped Chris Middleton, or he stopped himself.
Yeah, of course you just get casually 48 points from Trae Young on 17 to 34, and you know, of course you get 12 and 19 from Capella and 23 from John Collins, and you still figure out a way to win without stopping Giannis. I'm going to sound like a hater when I say this, and I don't really want to, but I still feel like the series favors the Bucks because I don't see them being able to stop Giannis. I see him being able to continually have, you know, similar games to yesterday. Maybe not
I think
as
he's
going to
average about 35.
Yeah, but I think he'll be right around that number, and I don't think you're going to see Chris Middleton go 6-23 again. You know, you can credit the Hawks' defense to that to an extent, but also, I mean, Chris Middleton going 0-9 from 3, that's just as much him hurting himself as it is,
yeah,
you know, the defense affecting him, like you mentioned. And I don't know if you're going to get 48 from Trae Young every game. Looks like it's going to be a fun series.
And when you look at it, I mean, this was a pretty evenly matched game outside of, you know, the Bucks kind of relinquishing the lead going into the second half when they had a slight lead. But, you know, both teams shot. The Hawks shot about 49% from the field. The Bucks 46% from three. The Hawks shot only 25%. The Bucks shot 22%. 87% from the field for the Hawks from the free throw line. 14 of 16. The Bucks were 11 of 14. 78%. The total rebounds was 51 to 45 in favor of the Hawks. Assist. The Bucks win the assist category. 27 to 19. They also win the blocks. Turnovers. They had less turnovers than the Hawks, 11-8. But I guess Trae Young was the X factor.
There was a possession late in the game where I think the Hawks had just gone up by one. They were kind of going back and forth down the stretch, and there was less than a minute left on the clock, maybe even right around the 30-second mark, and Giannis didn't even touch the basketball on their offensive possession. And I think that's what ultimately lost them the game. I don't know if that's on coaching or just in the spur of the moment, if they were afraid of them just going to foul him and him having to shoot free throws. But in those crunch time moments, you have to get the ball to your best player.
You have to.
And it seemed like in some of those key situations last night, they were trying to avoid getting the ball to Giannis. And I don't know if that's because of free throws or what the deal is, but they can't let that happen again moving forward if they want to win the series.
And I will even add that the Hawks, although this is a very high-scoring game, they hit the over on this one. I will say that the Hawks, though, their defense, you know, is surprising me as we mm-hmm. continue to go along in these playoffs. They play some very sound defense, very physical. They're up in your face. And this goes from top to bottom, even when I think that the Bucks, as Charlie said, have the favorable matchup. But even on that last possession when they were trying to tie it up late, the Bucks, Giannis drives in, he gets swarmed, they pack the paint, then he has to throw out a quick pass to, I think Middleton took that last shot to try and tie it up, and he was even swarmed by defenders. So the Hawks are long with John Collins, Clint Capella. They might even get Cam Reddish back. I don't know if he played last night. I know they were thinking that he might come back for last night's game, but they are a very physical team and play some very sound defense. And I keep saying that I'm surprised by this Hawks team, but I don't know anymore if we should be surprised. Have the Hawks arrived now?
I think Trey Young has arrived. I know that's for sure.
That is for sure. That is one that we have to give Trey Young his flowers. We have to give him his flowers now. I don't know about the entirety of the team. We'll see how it plays out. I'm with Charlie. I don't want to sound like a hater, but I kind of think that it still favors the Bucks that they can get this turned around. But well,
the betting lines agree with you guys too.
Yeah. So. I mean, most bettors are still betting on the Bucks, but at the same time, like, I think this is how the Hawks like it. I think they like playing with the chip on their shoulder and they're on that believe campaign. They don't think anybody's going to believe in them, and nobody thinks that they should be where they are. How do we see this series playing out? I know we just talked about that we still think it might be favorable for the Bucks. Do you think that they take the series, though, or are you just saying, like, you know, in the next game? Charlie? One game played. Is enough sample size for you that you can come away with a prediction?
Yeah, I'm done picking against the Hawks. I don't really know why they're going to win.
Somehow. Seems like they're a team of destiny.
I feel like, yeah, exactly. They just have that real destiny vibe to them. And maybe something else we're overlooking is, same with the Suns, they didn't have to play in the bubble. So they got a lot more rest. A lot of these teams are banged up, are just seem gassed. We heard LeBron talk about it. The Suns,
all the injuries,
haven't really dealt with a ton of injuries. I mean, Chris Paul to a little bit, but other than that, like, they haven't really dealt with a ton of injuries. The Hawks did in the regular season, but outside of you know, DeAndre Hunter and the other young player whose name is escaping me, Cam Reddish, like, they don't have a ton of injuries right now either. They seem a lot fresher. Maybe that has something to do with it.
I want to go ahead and say too, that oop off the backboard that Trae Young threw to Collins, that was
sick with it.
Yeah,
that was nasty
to see that in an Eastern Conference final game.
Yeah, them boys have an outstanding chemistry. I mean, that's another thing too. Maybe it's not even
celebrating in the locker room, man, after a win. That's ain't got the vibes.
He say ain't nothing but straightening. Ain't nothing but straightening.
Such a bad song. Ain't nothing gets straightened but a straightener. Just say that over and over again.
Ain't nothing gets straightened.
So bad.
I would like to say, though, yeah, man, I'm not picking against the Hawks as well. I do think this goes to seven games. I'll throw that out there.
Hawks in four.
I say seven games, but I think the Hawks take it as well. It just seems like their cohesiveness and their team chemistry and just the backs against the wall, it's us against the world mentality that Trae Young has, first off. Because think about how we talked about Trae Young coming out of college. He was getting the comparisons to Steph Curry, but nobody really gave him a lot of credit. It's like, nah, this guy, like, he's small. He's you know, he's very undersized. He has no meat on him, no type of physicality.
He didn't really excel at Oklahoma either. Yeah. They were a 9 seed, I think, that just barely made the tournament.
Yeah, and it's like he has no physicality about him. What's he really going to do? Once he gets to the NBA, he's going to get roughed up. And all this talk about Steph Curry, that was only college range. He doesn't have the real range. But Trae Young has arrived, and it's time for us to give him his flowers. Hey, we got one more segment left in us. Talk Sports Boys are in the house. They'll be up next. We'll come back with a little If You Haven't Heard and round out the show. This is The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Hey, thank you for tuning in to us, Chance, Charlie, and GP3. But now, as we always do it at the end of the show, time to take a couple minutes to go with a little If You Haven't Heard. GP3, you're up first.
All right, If You Haven't Heard, a new Guinness World Record has been broken for stacking the most M&Ms on top of each other.
Was it 23?
It was five. Five M&Ms. That's all it takes.
Oh, man, so all we got to do is do six.
All you got to do is do six M&Ms.
I would like to propose that tomorrow for at least...
Can I use Spider Tech?
I think tomorrow for at least 30 minutes we should go no sports and just try to break a world record and stack some M&Ms.
Just plain milk chocolate M&Ms. Six of them will break the record.
Can we do that for one of our July shows when things
like,
really
was there like a yeah
when things Silly really season. Slow down, like, can we get one of the Guinness Book of World Record authenticators out here and find some beatable world records and just spend 2 hours trying to beat some world records?
Do a fan run competition to see,
because they'll come out there if you do stuff like that.
I like this story. Also comes from the UK. I found this story that GP3 just told us. It breaks the previous record of four, jointly held by Silvio Saba, Italy, and Brandon Kelby of Australia. There's even a video and everything. Says he got the idea while he's munching through a bag of M&Ms during the UK's third lockdown. Quote, one day in lockdown, I was mixing up my confectionery choice. Usually I'm a chocolate bar type of guy, but this time the bag of M&Ms called me, and boy, am I glad they did, Will said. He suddenly wondered how many he could stack on top of each other and started having a go. That sounds like a very stoner moment. Let me see how many M&Ms I can stack.
I think he had to have been high.
Right? Had to be. At first, it wasn't very many until one day I thought, right, let's crack this. So I sat down very determined to complete it. Wow.
I'm going to go buy M&Ms tonight.
Dude, we're stacking.
My entire night.
We're stacking six. We're doing it.
Wow. Wow.
That just seems like such an easy record to break.
I don't think so. I really think about stacking five M&Ms. That sounds really hard to do. I don't even know if I could get two.
In the picture, it doesn't look that damn hard.
Oh, my. That looks so hard.
It looks kind of easy.
I thought it looked kind of easy.
I thought it looked kind of easy. Because
there's no center of balance.
He said, Will's biggest piece of advice, take your time. This record took me an awful long time.
Good thing we
have
a whole 2 hours.
Thank goodness we were in a lockdown. It takes time, but if you stick at it, you will find a way. It took an entire lockdown. It took an entire lockdown.
That's, I mean.
That's dedication.
I believe it.
That's dedication.
Imagine, yeah. Imagine at the start of lockdown, you're high one night. And
I'm watching it.
And stacking M&Ms, and then you dedicate the rest of your lockdown
stacking,
to doing
they
it.
Kept falling, but young Will kept it going.
If you haven't heard, Tennessee baseball is hosting a fan appreciation day at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And if you hurry, you can get over there in time starting at 12:15. Fans will be allowed on the diamond for pictures and for autographs. Admission's free. Parking is also free at the G16 garage. Enter the state through the left field gate. So if you want to go meet your favorite Vols and also the sexiest man in college baseball, Tony V, head over to Lindsey Nelson Stadium. They're doing it all.
Nice, nice. If you haven't heard, going back to the hardwood, but this time Vol news, we know we've got some Vols that are going up in the NBA Combine, but it was one Keon Johnson. That's right. Keon Johnson set an NBA Combine record. That's right. Think about all the athletes that have came through the Combine. He set an NBA Combine record with a 48-inch max vertical jump. Rumble, young man, rumble.
He broke the previous record by 2.5 inches.
Yes.
He didn't just set the record.
He shattered it.
Yeah.
He shattered it, obliterated that record. That kid's got some springs. We always knew he had some springs from the posters that we saw here with a short time on Rocky Top.
He's so explosive.
I think I also saw that we had three of the top six when it came to Max Vert. Pons, Springer, and Keon were all in the top six.
Wow. I think Pons was the leader for a long time until Keon
came through there and just whipped it out on the table. Love to see it.
One more quick, if you haven't heard, Tennessee basketball announced full capacity and season tickets went on sale. I don't know why we're still announcing full capacity places at this point, but it will be.
Hey, that's good. That's something great to look forward in the fall. And we're going to get back to normalcy. Well, it's about that time to end the show. National Calendar Days as we head out here. It is National Pralines Day. You guys like pralines?
What is that?
It's nut.
What kind of nut?
A praline.
That doesn't make sense.
I mean, it's what it is.
I don't know. I've never heard of one.
It's a nut.
They're pretty good.
They are pretty good. I like pralines.
I trust
like
GP3.
It's National Bomb Pop Day.
Oh, my goodness, that sounds delicious.
Like a bomb pop?
Those are so good.
Are those like the red, white, and blue
ones?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't had one of them in a long time. Got to break them out for the 4th of July, though.
The vodka, the bomb pop vodka.
Hey, and also it's National Handshake Day.
I love a good handshake.
I love a good handshake. Hey, great show. Talk Sports is up next from 12 to 3. Keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio up until 8 o'clock tonight with local programming. For Charlie, for GP3, I'm Chance. Hey, come back tomorrow for The Blitz right here on Fan Run Radio.